Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It is The Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It is time now for The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. Ryan, this morning we're asking the question, is the global economy ready for more oil output? I mean, comparing the situation with last year, what exactly has happened and what can we expect the next 2 months?
Last year, you might remember, oil just went into negative. And this time around, we are, at least the OPEC Plus group is so confident enough that they are resuming production again. And you have them deciding to continue the gradual increase in output. So that saw oil prices hit a two-year high. And in fact, oil prices are up over 30% year-to-date. To get a bigger picture, I've got Manpreet Gill. He's the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Manpreet. How are you doing today?
Morning, Ryan. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Manpreet, let's talk about what's happening with the OPEC Plus decision. So walk us through their thinking behind the decision. How optimistic are they behind the global recovery, bearing in mind they didn't make a decision beyond July?
Well, if you look at the supply decision, it's clearly expressing more optimism on global oil demand and through that route on the global economy. Because, you know, just on your conversation earlier, I mean, a key difference with this point last year is that, you know, most economies are very much on the recovery path. Yes, there are still pockets of, you know, COVID restrictions, but, you know, if anything, we've learned that those can, you know, delay, you know, an economic recovery. But, you know, these things do tend to come in waves. And how quickly vaccination progresses was one thing that did come up, you know, through the statement. So, look, the U.S., of course, we know is a big sort of source of demand. But I think what's changed a lot over the last few months is an improved outlook in some of Asia's largest economies. I mean, China, of course, was always on a faster recovery path. But also, you know, you're seeing Europe as another area where the economic recovery is showing signs of picking up pace. And in many cases, even where the economic data is not picked up, if you look at the vaccination rates, markets obviously looking ahead on that basis. So it is a vote of confidence, but I think obviously we need to see how quickly this recovery phase continues.
Yeah, Manpreet, looking at oil prices, they are right now, if you look at WTI, around $70, and Brent just over $70. So year-to-date, up over 30%. Do you have a view on where prices could go from here, or will it be sideways? Because we've got so many moving parts with Iran, possibly a factor that might raise more production. You've got COVID-19, possibly derailing demand. What do you make of prices down the road?
Well, we have been and continue to be modestly bullish. And I think in terms of prices, that translates to somewhere between $75 to $80. But like you said, not in a straight line. Because, you know, if you take the recovery path as sort of a guide, then yes, in our view, that does translate into higher prices. Particularly, you see more of Asia come, you know, a return to normalcy, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months. But, you know, there are a number of factors in the middle. One, of course, is you get new sources of supply, as you just mentioned. The other is that in the short term, at least, you know, higher oil prices do tend to feed into inflation calculations, or at least market expectations of inflation. And that, you know, you can imagine could impose a bit of a natural limit as well, in addition to supply, of not having oil prices sort of run away with it, run away completely. That is meant to be temporary or supply driven, but it's not something that, you know, bond markets especially tend to ignore.
Yeah, talking about inflation expectations, right? We are, of course, looking out for the big data point this Friday from the U.S. non-farm payrolls. One camp is expecting that the numbers will be good. On the other hand, we are also looking at a camp that is a bit more bearish. What's your take on where inflation expectations will play out in terms of how it might impact gold prices, which have for quite some time been the hedge against inflation?
Well, on inflation, I think it's really about, you know, the short term, how the short term versus long term factors play out. I think in the short term, and that's over the next couple of months, you know, purely statistical base effects by themselves are enough to propel, you know, the headline inflation number a little bit higher. But, you know, that, if anything, you know, doesn't say anything about where inflation might trend over the long term, because those statistical effects can fall as quickly as they push the number higher. I think the real sort of key here will be you know, the labor market and how it pans out over the coming months, not just one data point alone. We can have a great data print, but what we know from, you know, just the gap in employment from where it was pre-pandemic, there's a long way to go before the labor market tightens in the U.S. and indeed across most major economies. So, you know, one would need to see consistent improvement month after month for, you know, wage growth worries to really start coming back to the forefront. On gold, I think where it leads us is that, look, we do think a lot of those gains in gold, there is, one is we expect, you know, gold can move higher. Second is we do think there's a good chance some of those gains may be front-loaded, especially between now and sort of mid-year where inflation numbers keep rising. And beyond that, look, I think we need to reassess. I mean, it's quite possible that some of the shorter-term impacts like supply disruptions do extend. And those are scenarios in which gold is, of course, a good hedge. But under most other scenarios, you know, if gold sort of comes off modestly, I mean, actually, equities end up being a great hedge, especially in modestly high inflation scenarios. They end up have done, you know, historically quite well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the dollar as well with the recent news of how the U.S. recovery is online. Where does this leave the U.S. dollar? I'm looking at how it's now at 89.88 on the dollar index. So that is near its recent 5-month low. So are you still bearish on the dollar?
We are, and a bit like oil, it's not something that necessarily happens in a straight line. But you know, there's one added complication there that, you know, obviously lower bond yields net of inflation are negative for the dollar. But what matters is not just absolute U.S. real yield; it's also how they stack up relative to other major economies. And on the second point in particular, look, I mean, the U.S. of course has already, you know, in the midst of a recovery, but you know, the increasing signs that Europe, for example, is you know, ending up on facing very similar trends with, you know, vaccination increasing, some inflation numbers beginning to creep higher, though clearly not by quite as much. So we think both sides of the coin, you know, will sort of be remain dollar bearish. I think higher inflation pushes yields against the dollar, and we see more of that global growth recovery extend out outside the U.S., particularly in Europe and eventually, you know, more of Asia. That to us is still very, very dollar dollar bearish. Now, on the dollar index, I think 88 is a pretty important level when you start looking at very long-term charts. So, like I said, maybe not in a straight line, but I think if we went below that, it would extend dollar weakness quite significantly.
All right. Vinchai Manpreet-Gill, he's the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, thank you for your time as always, and we'll catch up again with you soon.
All right. Thanks very much, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.